Kia ora, welcome to Faith Matters. You're listening to Marie, and it's Friday. It's a beautiful day out there. It really is. If you're in Raglan, Whangaroa, I hope you're enjoying it. There's plenty to enjoy out there. We've got a great show today. I'm really excited. We've got Denise back in the studio today. I'm so looking forward to this. We're going to unpack one of her blogs, and she's not actually in the studio, but she is tuning in from France. So there we go, and that's all going to be happening soon.
I'm packing my bags. to light, darkness to light. I'm lifting my eyes to the hope of my life for the very first time.
Listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters. Welcome, Denise, all the way from France.
Thank you. Hello. Bonjour. Bonne nuit.
I should have worn my little French hat. I don't have one yet. Bring me one home. We'll all have all these little things that you've brought from all over the world. Where did you travel to? You're at France now, in France now. Where were you before there? Yeah.
I've been around England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales.
That was it.
So, yeah. So when I last talked to you, I was in Ireland and then I left Ireland to go to England, which is where this pilgrimage starts.
Right.
So I was just there for a couple of days and then started walking and here I am.
I can see Denise, and what's the time, Denise? Yeah, it's 1 o'clock.
1 a.m.
Yeah,
because you guys have had daylight savings, so it's much more sociable hour than 2 a.m. like it was going to be.
Yeah,
thank you for changing that.
Yeah, sorry about that. I feel for you, but you're amazing, and it's so good to see you. It's so good to have you here. Catch up on some of these blogs, but we are just going to look at one. So you are still on your pilgrimage, aren't you? Tell us just. Just inform us a little bit more about what's been happening, what sort of travels you've been on in your walking, where you've walked.
So the pilgrimage that I'm doing is called the Via Francigena. So it's the road, the Frankish route is another way of saying that, or the French road. So it's the French direct road that leads between Canterbury Cathedral in England. I have to say that because I said somebody I was starting to walk at Canterbury Cathedral and they thought I meant Christchurch.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, wow, okay. No, that's not
part of the world.
So Canterbury Cathedral in England, which is about 30 kilometres up from Dover, down the White Cliffs, the closest point between England and France. So it was one day to get down to the coast. Then I've been walking across France, sort of going slowly, diagonally down, sort of parallel with the border, but I didn't know that the border kind of goes down. So we've walked about 750 kilometres as of tomorrow in the last 5 weeks.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's actually been phenomenal. I just set out thinking, oh, that's a good idea, why not? But as time has progressed on our travels, even before we started, but now even once we've started walking, it's just, I've come across so many unexpected things. It's been a fantastic trip.
Wow. Okay. So I want to ask you the question, like, if you could pull out one thing that was the fantastic thing, what comes to mind? Sorry.
It's been amazing. What I did not realise, in the guidebook, it kind of tells you you're going to be going past all these World War One sites, like cemeteries or whatever. But what I didn't realise was that we were literally going to be walking down the World War One front line. And so we were going to be walking through towns that were completely destroyed. There was one town that was completely destroyed and rebuilt, one town that at the end of the war there was half of one wall from one building left standing of the entire town. And so quite a few, that was a little bit further north, and some of these towns, yeah, were gone, and they had to completely choose to rebuild. So there's towns that had a whole lot of brick, red brick buildings, or patterns made with the red bricks, and those were all the places that have been rebuilt in about 1920-ish. And some of them, like some of them were bombed by others, but some of them were bombed by the French themselves because they knew there were strategic points that they needed to deal with. So it's not even, it's been phenomenal walking down and seeing the different ways that they've gone through. There was a place we went through where they did an agreement with Germany many years later that kind of apologised for what happened during that time. So they've kind of reconciled. And, yeah, just the way, like, they honour the fallen. Yeah, they say this is a tragedy. Well, people have fallen here from so many nations. And so they honour these different ones from all over the world. And it's just, yeah, it really interesting. And I talked to a guy in an information office, and he works at a place, a World War One museum, and he was saying, you know, even some of the French people won't talk about it. They are still, you know, sort of generationally traumatised by it. And he said, you know, just by them not talking about it, they hope that it will disappear. But for them, it kind of continues. And then there are others who want to honour and want to talk through it, and just the different ways of approaching it. So yeah, and I turned up in this place, one of our early biggest towns, and it was called, it's Arras, A-R-R-A-S. And there's there were all these chalk mines, chalk and limestone mines that they found, the New Zealanders found at the beginning, at early in World War One. They called out across, Britain got involved, and they called out across the Commonwealth and said, who could come and help us? We need people who can mine or tunnel or something. We need to work in this area. The Kiwis were apparently the first ones to answer, and they've got this place there called the Wellington, I don't know what the French word is, and it actually, it's all about New Zealand. It wasn't even soldiers. It was just people who went over, guys from, they didn't take the coal miners because they needed coal at the time, but a whole heap of guys from the Waihi gold mines and different places like that, and lumberjacks and all sorts, engineers, all sorts went across, and they found these underground caverns, and the New Zealanders said, oh, we can link them and actually make a system. So they worked for 6 months. Others came and joined them, and they made this area that housed 24,000 soldiers for 1 week before a particular battle. Wow. So, like, I didn't know that. Here I am just wandering along going, what do you mean there's a whole thing dedicated to New Zealand help? Like,
yeah. It was because fascinating. Because often we hear about, you know, the war and the soldiers, but we're not hearing these other stories that were about people coming over that weren't part of being a soldier or part of the war, so to speak, but we're still helping out in these areas. So you would have come across a lot of, well, it sounds like you've come across a lot of stories, but also a lot of trauma. I can hear a lot of the spoken and unspoken that we perhaps don't know about. You know, we know about what we hear, but these stories come from having a connection with, I suppose, locals in the areas where these tragedies happened, and they hold those stories.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they lost everything. I mean, we lost some. We know we lost precious lives, but we didn't lose, you know, our homes weren't decimated or whatever at that time. I mean, I know we've had our own wars, and there's been some atrocities that have happened in New Zealand, but I don't know, just being unexpectedly thrown into the middle of this story was quite remarkable, really.
Yeah, and so, and that's going to take us nicely into your blog. This is hot off the press. What is it? It is the 18th today, isn't it? 18th of October. Yep. Cut off the press. It's 18th of October, and this has just gone up online. And this is Denise's latest blog. It's called "Where Are You Heading?" And pretty much led into it, you've talked about, you know, the walking trails and the stories that we hear. And in your blog, you talk about the map that we follow in life, you know, and I guess you've been following a map for some time, and you talk about also in your blog whether you take the long journey or the short journey, same lead to the same destination.
Yes.
So we might unpack that a little bit. When I talk about the long journey, the short journey, in your blog, you're talking about the Romans travelling from one area to another. And you thought you were on the road that was the old historic road, but you found out from the locals that actually, no, the real road was the roads that the Romans travelled, which was a shorter road and a straighter road to its destination. And so, we're just going to perhaps look at that, our own maps, and you know, what you've discovered around these different roads, even though they lead to the same place. Maybe tell us a little bit about that, Denise, the straight lined, who's smiling, or the long road.
Well, what we're walking on, this Via Francigena, it is the it is sort of the Roman route from England to Rome, and so it's one of the main sort of arterial directions out. And so when you read the original guy that this is based off, his itinerary, he was one of the archbishops of Canterbury in 990, and one of his people that was travelling with him just happened to, on their return back to England, they'd been to Rome, and they were, one of the people in his entourage just happened to write down, this is where we stayed this night, this is where we stayed, this is where we stayed. And so that it was his reverse itinerary is what they've based this thing on. And it's kind of had a resurgence back in the last 20 or so years. So there's still not very many people walking this, but it's starting to grow a little bit. And he apparently walked, I think it's about 1,700 kilometres. When we're doing it, it's 2,200 plus.
Wow.
So it's like an extra 500 k's just because it's not straight roads necessarily. We had a great day last week that we were mostly on Roman roads, and I just walked. It was actually a massive walking day. I walked 45 k's that day, which is the most I've ever walked. But it was a straight, pretty much a straight line, and it was like, oh, I've actually made not just 45 k's, but 45 kilometres of progress towards where I'm going. I was like,
thank you. When you look back, could you see your destination in the distance where you'd come
from?
Yeah, just about.
You could. You'd come over a hill and you could see where you would be leaving the same valley on the other side.
Yeah, wow.
It was amazing. That's where this comes from. So our route now, they're trying to keep, you know, delicate little pilgrims, they're trying to keep our feet in good condition, so they're trying to keep us off the asphalt road so that we're not walking on a hard surface all the time. You know, it's like when you're standing on concrete all day. And so they're taking us through the woods or along the edges of fields or beside a river, and I'm just like, I've got a long way to go, I just want to get there.
And do you think that's how the Romans felt? That's why they like that. Well, I guess because they were, you know, travelling so much with them, you know, learning the straight road or finding the quickest path there would have been top of their agenda, I guess.
Yes, exactly. So I guess this way we're working with the lie of the land a little bit more, or we're you know, now obviously with farms, you can't just traipse right across somebody's field. Although, to be fair, we've done that a few times when we've got ourselves lost. But, like, they don't want everybody doing that. You've got to acknowledge that you know, that, or they might be trying to take you. For example, there's the motorway that goes through, and there's only a few places that you can cross the motorway. So you have to go along to a point where you can actually get across. You can't just wander across the motorway where there's no bridge or no underpass. things like that. Like it does make sense what they've got there now. Or the other thing they've done is they'll take it off to another little town off to the side, because you can actually get, there's a bakery there and you can actually get some bread. Or, you know, there might be some amazing historical finding they've got tucked away there or whatever. So they take you. So that's this, what this hostess was saying to me last night, was that, you know, this is, it's all just tourism. They're trying to take you through some of these towns just to get people through. It's like, yeah, well, that's true. But we have been on some lovely Roman roads lately, so I don't mind. I don't mind wandering sometimes. But when you want to get somewhere and you're sent off, you know, in circles, it's like, oh, please just let me arrive.
And it's like you say, it's a tourist thing more than it is the experience of travelling the old road, you know, which comes with the history that you're looking for and the stories and just the feeling, I guess, of being on that road and, how you translate that for yourself. I mean, I imagine if I was over in Israel and I was walking the streets that where all the places that Jesus had walked, the impact on me would be quite massive. Like, I'd just be thinking,
I might have
stood where he stood. You know?
Yeah. You can actually feel the difference. I actually wrote, because back when this was written, they actually didn't go from Dover to Calais. There was another harbour a little bit further down the coast from Calais called Ouessant. Well, it's probably not said like that in French because, oh my gosh, I'm butchering some of their place names. But
I wouldn't have a clue, Denise. You know that.
They went from Ouessant across to Dover. And so we went from Dover to Calais on the passenger ferry and then had to walk 20 kilometres down the coast day one in France to get to the starting point. And I noticed quite a difference between that day when I was just walking completely off route to get back to the route, and when I was walking properly on the path, there was sort of a depth about it. It felt more ancient. You could feel that it was a road well traveled. So here we are. Sometimes we have the option of going the historical route or a different route, and we chose. Last week when we did that Roman road part and made all that progress, the reason we walked 45 kilometres was because there was really no services between one place and the next. We just had to keep walking to get to the next place. But it was straight.
Yeah, and I was going to say travelling the old road without all the distractions means that you can really engage with what you're experiencing and almost transport yourself into that place and time and era. I think that's what I would do, and I think I'd like to travel the road that is a historic road, because I'd want that history around me. And I think, you know, travelling the other road has a lot of distractions in it, has lots of buy this, you know, eat this, see this, you know, talk to, hear my story. And so the distraction is quite, there's a lot of distraction on the other road, you know, which kind of leads me into more of your blog. And just to talk about your blog, Denise, actually we will go into a couple of songs and we'll come back and unpack this. I want to look at the maps that you talked about and how do we, you know, whether we're going by an old map or a new map and what that might mean. So we'll come into that, back into that. But just tell us how we can find your blogs. Tell us about your Facebook page.
My website is denise.nz, denise.nz. So you can go on there and all my blogs are on there. There's also Facebook, which you can click through to from the website, because the spelling can be complicated. So that's why Denise.nz, nice, simple.
Such a famous name, Denise.
Yeah, that's gonna be now.
Well, we're gonna head on to Eye on It by Toby Mac, and we'll be back real soon. We'll be right back.
sleep, but not the dream. Things ain't cooking in my kitchen. Strange affliction wash over me. Julius Caesar and the Roman Empire couldn't conquer the sing like a bird released. Everywhere you go, always take the weather with you. Everywhere you go, always take the weather. Everywhere you go, always take the weather with you. Everywhere you go, always take the weather with you.
Go. We might, well, I don't know if we can take the weather with us, Denise. How's the weather at your place?
I have actually been trying. Lena's just been, my husband's been saying, it's amazing. We've missed of 5 weeks, even though it's been, they've been raining here for months. They've had a really rainy summer. We've had one day of solid rain while we've been walking. So even yesterday when we were walking, it was supposed to be raining for about 4 hours. Nope. Went around us.
That
so,
is
yes,
so
I do
good.
Take the weather with me. I prefer sunshine if I could possibly all that, is it?
That's great, eh? Like, that is so good that you've had good weather, because it would be totally different experience, I suppose, if you'd had to slosh through some wet weather. Would you have done it, or would you have stayed where you were?
Yeah, I would have. I'm stubborn enough, I would stick with it. Leonard wasn't.
Yeah, you're stubborn.
Wasn't so enthusiastic. He's like, actually, it's been really nice having dry. Or, I mean, we've had a few showers, but yeah, we've had one day of actual wet.
That's so good. So we've been looking at your blog, Denise, which is called Where Are We Heading? Hot off the press today. You'll find it on Denise's page on Facebook. And we were just really unpacking different pathways and how we get there, take the long road, the short road. Maybe one road has distractions and the other one allows us to ponder a bit deeper. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and in here, in your blog, you've got, you know, taking notice when we're on autopilot, where do you end up? where do your thoughts go? Do you end up telling yourself off, wallowing in self-pity, mulling over what you didn't do or over what someone else did? So this is talking, you've kind of moved into, in your blog, you're talking about having a map and whether we're working from an old map or a new map. Or do we want to change the map, or does the map need adjusting? And
yes.
In relation to the map and where we're heading is also our thinking. So you've brought that into it too, like what's our thinking around the destinations we're going to, or how do we think about the things that we've done heading towards that destination, and whether we feel good about it or not, or holding ourselves prisoner in some really bad thinking.
Yeah.
Well, I've given you a lot there, Denise. It's a bit much, isn't it? There you go. Where do we want to start?
The thing that got me thinking about this particular blog, I got an email the other day about the way that our brain processes things. So there's a certain default that we, you know, if we walk into a room, we kind of get all the stimulus, like we'll get the smell and we'll get the sights and we'll get the sounds and all this stuff, and our body, our brain has to filter through and go, okay, I'm going to ignore all that stuff, but I'll focus on that. And this guy who sent the email was just talking about how we have this way that we tend to process things, and he was talking at a deeper level of, unconscious level, actually, how do you retrain yourself if you've had a trauma, say, and you react a certain way, or if you have a habit of, you know, talking down to yourself, or you have a habit of this happened and then I go on a downward spiral of such and such. If your brain is in a certain pattern of doing things, I'm talking about it, calling it a map. So you've got this, something happens, you have a bad day, and you go home and you drink a heap, like more than it's helpful. You've got this sort of automatic default programming that you, this happens and da 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 da. And so that's what I was sort of thinking about as I was writing this, about the map. So you've got, you know, where, if you actually look at the way that you process things, where do you end up? Where are you heading? If you have a bad day at work, what's sort of the end result of that? And is that where you actually really want to be? And so it's rethinking that and going, actually, if I don't want to be, looking at the empty end of a bottle every evening, well, I'm going to have to find a different way of doing things. And then sort of talking about that is that map. So I haven't really given any answers in my blog, because I'm just trying, I mean, depending on what's going on for a person as to what is going to be needing to be updated in the way that they think, in the way that they act, in the way that they move, in the way that they process things.
So you're talking about, you're using the metaphor of a map as being a process that we go through, that we are set in, and we're giving no thought to the process. We're just following the map that has always been there for us, and
traveling the same road. Yes, and you know what the destination is. If you've done that over and over and over, you will know what your slippery slope is and where you end up.
Absolutely, and that's a set map. But we have to have a awareness around that map, Denise, and many of us, I think the first step is being aware that we are processing, or that we are reacting or doing the same things that we've always done. And I guess if that works in our life, that's fine. If there's no need to develop or change the map, you might be quite happy with the way that you do things and may never want to change. Yeah. But for many of us, awareness is a natural process of growth and maturing, and we do come to points in our life where we do want to reevaluate and look at that processing or that map and go, I might be taking a really long road here.
And that's the thing.
Shortening the process because the land's changed or your environment's changed, so you don't actually have to go around the coastal rocky areas that you used to go to get to your destination because your environment has – it's not the same anymore. And so we need to reevaluate how we might want to travel that road, and we could have a different destination if we – kind of skip through the middle of it instead of mucking around going all the long way.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, somebody who has who's walking this route that I'm going, you know, someone who has heaps of time, they might want to kind of go meandering around. But I just like getting places, so I prefer to just get there. But there are also people who do this cycling route. And so as we follow our path, they have on our guidebook and different things, they have, you know, there's a shortcut option where you can go along the road if you're a cyclist. It's not the Roman road and it's not the softer path that's better for your feet, but it's going to get you to point A to point B faster, so you can keep going. And it's this even roads, because some of the mud, boggy, slippery, puddly places that we have had to navigate has been absolutely crazy. And that's, you know, at the end of summer, although that did say it was a wet one. But still, I mean, it's hardly rain while we've been here, and you've got these deep, deep puddles. It's like, really?
Is it quite marshy or something? Is it marshy?
In parts. It's not like swampy like we have at home as much, but it's just trying to navigate these like tracks where the vehicles might have gone through for logging or for hunting or for something. And you know, you've just got those places where the water all just congregates and it gets so revolting. That was off track, but you wouldn't want to go through that with a cycle.
Well, actually, you've got a question here that puts you back on track. It says the thing for us to consider is, where does our map lead us? And so I guess if you're traveling down those boggy paths when there might have been an alternative way, it's finding the alternative way. And so maybe is the question, how do we find the alternative way, or how do we discover that that we don't have to keep going the same track that we've always taken?
Yeah, and so there's that second aspect in the blog. There's one aspect of what is your destination, but there's also the aspect of you might be heading to the right destination. Like, you might be really happy with, you know, the way that you process things and where you end up, but life might have changed, and so you might have been meandering. And actually at the moment, you know, you might be a young mum with kids and you actually – you know, you don't have the time to meander at the moment, and you've just got to get there. So you actually need to choose those direct, a different way of dealing with it perhaps. Or maybe, you know, things have got a bit hard and you need to be a bit gentler on yourself. So being aware of that, and actually sometimes when you hit a country road, just walk on the road so you can just get to the next place rather than, you know, heading back in. We've had so many laughs. We've been coming across, there's been all these signs about wild boars. And so this day particularly, they had warnings and everything in the guidebook. And I was just like, I said to Leonard a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure that these rut marks everywhere on the side of the path are wild boars. And he was like, we're in Asterix Oblix kind of territory. And he read over just before he went to bed, he read over my blog. He said, I'm waiting for you to bring up the wild boars in this, Denise. So sometimes it's like literally trying to avoid, you know, whether it's a bog or whether it's all of the animals in the forest, that actually that sometimes is fine. And other times it's really overwhelming. And so sometimes I would just take to the road. I'm like, okay, I've had enough. I have to be too on high alert too much there.
Yeah,
I want to walk this road for a while.
Yeah.
So it's not that your destination changes, it's just what you need to navigate.
What's on that roadway? What's going to be, especially the unseen dangers. Like when you have a sign at the beginning saying wild boars, I would be on so high alert. I'd be like, I'd be so exhausted by the time I got there because I'm just looking all the time for where these boars are. And yes. It's
all the crowd that. This lady said to us tonight, so literally we have been walking for 5 weeks, and it says in the guidebook that they have in autumn in France, there's a lot of hunting goes on, so take a bright jacket or something. Well, it just so happened my little puffer jacket is like cerise pink, really bright. So I've been wearing that. But we've been coming across hunters on Saturdays and Sundays. You'll see guys out with their dogs and they're walking through the cornfields or whatever's just been planted, sugar beets, with their dogs. And if their dog goes after something, they might sort of, you know, shoot a bit. You can hear the shooting in the forests. And there have been these signs with pictures of wild boars up. And we're just like, oh, my gosh. But we've seen heaps of these hunters. And when I say heaps, I mean like we have seen probably somewhere between 100 and 200. Like,
wow.
That's their Sunday afternoon fun.
That's a lot of bullets flying around. Denise.
I know. And that's what this lady just said tonight. Like, so literally we've got one more day of walking. And she's just like, if you ever see this sign up, the forest is closed, don't go in. And I was just like, we have been walking through that for 5 weeks.
You've been in a war zone, you didn't even know it.
We went down this path. It was actually the Robin Road Day, so it was either Saturday or Sunday this last weekend, and we came to this part where it kind of crossed through a wood, and there was 9 guys lined up on one side of the path through this wood. And so Leonard had gone on ahead, so he'd already walked past, and he was worried. He's like, oh, Denise is going to be worried coming past all these guys with guns. But I was like, no, they're French farmers, they're fine. So I was like, bonjour, and walked on to the next one, bonjour. And then one of them says, I think you need to come and stand on this side of the path. But see, the path was a bit slippery. So I was like, okay, merci. And so I'm walking along, and he tried to say something else. I was just like, je ne parle pas français. I don't speak. I don't know what you're saying. Anyway, I walked past these 9 hunters, and they all just were like, yeah, bonjour. As I went past, the last one said to me, what nationality are you? And I went, oh, Nouvelle Zealand. And he was like, ah. But what they were thinking was,
it all.
That walking through the forest when the hunters are out, and I'm just like, bonjour.
Oh, Denise. I could just imagine you. I mean, I can see Denise, and she's like happy as, not a care in the world, not seeing any risk here, no danger.
We just thought there were signs saying, like, yeah, there are wild boars around, and there's all these be vigilant and stuff. And we're like, yeah, so people are like reporting when they see a wild boar so they can go out and get them. But no, apparently not. Just don't get into the forest. They're shooting right now.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad you survived that war zone. That could have been chaotic as.
I know.
So you've got in here, sorry, and we're going to go back to your blog. It says, okay, you've started to notice a pattern. Yeah, now consider, is that where you want to end up all the time, or do you need to update your map? And I kind of like this because I love how you work in metaphors, and we're not talking about a road map, we're not talking about a world map, we're just talking about the map that we follow in ourselves that we've gotten used to, that we're familiar with. Mm. And I guess if we go.
No, you're right, carry right. on.
I guess if we want to, I mean, we can keep travelling the road well-travelled because it's often very easy to see. But if we want to make a change somewhere, especially in our thinking or our direction in life, then we have to make something happen. And you know, in my with my counselling hat on, often I use what I call a circuit breaker, Denise. So in my thinking, when I tune into my thinking, you know, because I am a big thinker. I'm also a big feeler. Uh-huh. You know, I'm in my head space and my heart space. It can be pretty balanced these days. But there are times when I also like to unpack things and look at them objectively and try and get something that's going to resonate with me. So I can ruminate over thoughts as I'm unpacking, which can be a really uncomfortable place, and I get lost there sometimes. And I'm very aware of this in myself. In my older life, it's looked like unpacking thoughts and stuff like that. But in my younger life, it was being stuck in trauma. So very different places to be, but nonetheless still places of strong thinking, being stuck in my thinking. Well, not stuck, but staying there a bit too long sometimes. So I often use a circuit breaker, and if my thinking has become what I consider stinking thinking, you know, where it's gone down that track where everything's quite negative towards myself, or my outlook isn't so rosy, I tune in with myself and I become aware of my thoughts. So I become aware of what I am saying to myself. It can be a really stark place to be, because often we don't really want to hear the language we are speaking. We skip over it because it is the road well travelled. So we don't need to tune in, because we know, we already know what's going to happen down this road. We're just part of it. We're not taking any responsibility to change it. We're just letting it happen. Mm. So a circuit breaker is about recognising that our thoughts is a circuit going from one destination to another destination. And just like a cord goes from a heater to the PowerPoint to plug in, to break that circuit, please don't do this, because you'll get electric shock, anyone out there, if you're stupid enough to do this, to cut the cord, you don't do that.
Or could pull it out.
You could pull it out, but you could, but that's taking it away from the metaphor, Denise.
sorry.
We are plugging safety that cord in. There's got to be a current going through it. It can't, to break a current, you have to have a current. Yes, you could just go and pull it out of the wall, Denise. Absolutely. But we're talking about cutting that thinking process. And so to capture a thought, we have to be aware of the thought. We have to be aware of what's going on in our mind. And for me, a circuit breaker is a one-worder. So here's the process. So for me, the word is actually. That will be my circuit breaker. What I go on to from there is actually that's not the truth. And I will tell myself what the truth is. And so the process is my language slows down. I mean, I've been doing this for years, Denise, so I don't really do this anymore. It's kind of second nature for me now to do this process. But when I first started doing it, my word that resonated with me was the word actually. As soon as I thought that, as soon as I said it out loud, whatever, it was in my thinking, the word actually, I knew I was going to a different direction. I knew I was cutting that thought, and the word actually was the first point of contact, and then the sentence after that was, that's not the truth. And I would slow it right down. That's not the truth. The truth is, and then I would tell myself the truth.
Wow.
So it was quite a process. And when you talk about the map that we have, or the what we're used to having in front of us, I wanted to redirect that and change that mapping. So even though it was still part of my map, it's still there. That other thinking. I can divert from it and tell myself a truth that other people aren't going to tell me in the moment and help me. Or I wouldn't believe them anyway if they did. So it is a very honest and authentic way of bringing yourself into a point of being present with yourself, I think.
Yes.
Looking in the mirror. Looking in the mirror and going, here I am. And I'm going to speak a truth, because I've been listening to a whole lot of lies on that well-travelled road. And Aaron's just saying goodbye. I'm like, no, you're not going, are you? Not yet. I haven't finished the show.
Bye, Aaron.
Bye, Aaron. Yeah, we can do it and you've written in this in your blog, in autopilot. And I love that you've actually nailed that word, because it is autopilot. You know, we think of a guy in his plane and they go into autopilot. They've got all the skills in the world to drive that, fly that plane, but they go into autopilot because, I mean, that's the easiest thing to do, isn't it? It knows its destination.
Yeah, and when you're familiar with something, like you think about, you know, driving home, like you know where you're going, you don't necessarily need a map for it. But one thing I find really quite entertaining sometimes is that my husband, who might travel quite a bit, he often will put in home and hit play. And I'm just like, seriously, like, you know where you're going, you know where you live, you know how to get there, you even know the quickest route from here. But in his mind, he's looking for roadblocks, or if there's anything that's, you know, if there's an accident or roadworks or something like that, he would rather go a different way rather than get stuck in traffic. So he just does it automatically. That's part of his processes now, which is the best way home. Whereas I'm just like, what on earth? Like, why rely on technology? Do it yourself. And so even that, like, I guess when you are going somewhere new, you expect to use a map and you expect to learn and you expect to find out different things. But when it's something that's really familiar to you that you just do all the time, the idea of putting it into your GPS in your vehicle and pressing go seems absolutely ridiculous sometimes. It's like, what on earth? But actually, for some of us, that's what it takes. You know where you're going, but actually maybe there's stuff going on, and actually just knowing how to navigate around that, having the extra little bit on your map would be really helpful this time.
And you say in here, you know, we're all so different, and there is no one size fits all answer in how we do processing or how we might want to change that internal map. It's good to have many tools in our toolkit, so that we're not thinking, well, I have to do it this way because that's the way Marie does it, and so it must work this way. It's not like that. We will find our own way. It's about having discussions, open conversations around what works for you, what works for me, what have we found that might be helpful for others, and somewhere, hopefully, somebody finds a nugget of gold that works for them. Because I think the key first is awareness. In everything, we must come to awareness. We have to. If we can't have awareness, it's because we're avoiding it. We don't want awareness. That's where a whole lot of attitudes come in, and avoidance, and the way that we will escape what's right in front of us. That's fine. If people want to do that, you're just not going to grow, that's all. It's fine. It's fine. It doesn't resonate with me. I'm always going to be kind of questioning and wanting to know more, or how I can develop more. I might not always get it right, but we experience that on the road of changing that internal dialogue or changing that well-written map that's within us. Yes. In here you've got where your internal map leads to is where you are heading. This is like hitting a golf ball, isn't it, Denise? You've got to look at where you want it to land. That's what I've been told. I'm always looking at that blimmin' ball that's sitting on the ground, trying to aim my stick for that thing. I don't get it. And they tell me that I'm supposed to be looking where it's going to land, and I'm like, that's crazy stuff. That's just to a dyslexic person. I'm going to hit myself with a golf club.
The golf ball would be your best choice of analogy there, but I think pretty much you hit the golf ball, and unless you actually know what you're doing, it's pretty much, it could go any direction.
Yeah, I know, Denise, but the experts tell you you've got to look at that where you want it to land, and that means you've got to take your eye off the ball. Like, come on,
well,
that does
not
make sense.
Your eye on the ball.
Well, is that what you got to look at? I don't know. See, it's very confusing. Maybe golf wasn't the place to go after all. I've never understood it anyway. But what I do know is I think you've got to be looking where you want it to land. And I guess what you're saying here, if you are turned in a certain direction and you're facing that way, then that is where you're going to head. And we need to be certain about the direction we're heading in.
Another thing I was thinking when I was writing that is actually for some people, the thought of doing something differently, just that thought alone, is terrifying.
Yeah.
And so I sort of did put in there about, you were just talking about talking to people, actually sometimes talking with someone and getting an idea of what's down that path can start to deal with some of the fear. And you can ask questions from somebody who's been there, from somebody who actually knows. That can be more helpful than just trying to keep it all in your own head.
And sometimes living off going fear, out and talking, kind of ruminating over the fear of the possibility of a ball coming out. Well, really, you should have been concentrating on the bullets, Denise, that were flying around. That's something to be afraid of. Honestly, I don't know. It's crazy
terrible
stuff.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe
it
either. I don't
believe it. She says it.
I can't believe you got out of that forest alive.
I can hear them popping around in all the forest. But
and you didn't once think where those bullets were popping off to?
You know, I've heard a few times, but they were far enough away. And when I've seen hunters, they've always just been walking around with their dogs or waiting. So I haven't, like, I haven't seen anyone actively pew pew. So, yes. Anyway, but I know for next time, and it's really just the weekend, so it's like, okay, well, tomorrow's Friday, we can walk, we'll get there safely, and next time when I come, I'll know not to go into the forests in the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm learning.
Well, you've got in here, maps nowadays are not just about where you're going, they're also about how you get there, Denise.
Yes.
Let's make it as safe as possible. Yeah, and it says life will throw you curveballs. Uh-huh, they will.
Yeah. I'll tell you some curveballs I've found here. Oh, my gosh. It's little grass snakes. I've been freaking out. I've seen quite a few. I've seen five now. And I'm just so unfamiliar with them. Being in New Zealand, I absolutely freak out every time. So, yeah. That's curveball for me. So just like
and I'm going, well, what is it about the snakes, Denise? Tell me, are they big? Are they? What is it about? Are they fast?
They don't have to be big. They don't have to be big for me to be freaking out. Just the fact that they're there. And I think probably the fact that they're grass snakes and don't do anything and have been relatively small have been really good things because my reactions, I mean,
it's big.
Freaking and running in front of them, and I was thinking, if that was one that attacks, I could be in real big trouble right now. So this has been just a learning experience, basically, of how not to walk. Don't run in front of snakes. Don't go into forests.
When you hear the popping sound of guns, stop looking for boars because the hunters are doing enough of that. You don't need to. That was the least of your worries.
I was trying to read it. It said ensemble, which is together, and vigilant. So I was like, okay, let's be vigilant together. So my interpretation was we really need to report these things and get on top of it.
Oh, you're such a good girl, Denise. Well done. Hats off to you. So how long are you in France for before you move on?
We fly out on Monday, so not long.
You're off to Paris, aren't you? You and Leonard?
So we catch the train on Saturday morning to get to Paris, have just a couple of days there to get a little bit of civilization. Would it be nice? Leonard's like, you have got to get new shoes. I've got my pink Crocs that I normally wear in Raglan walking my doggo. And they don't really wear pink Crocs so much in France. I've had a lot of French ladies just staring at my feet. It's either walking shoes. Or if I'm out and about on a rest day, I'm wearing these things and people just look at me like,
are you
where
walking
are
you in
from?
Those? Are you walking in your Crocs?
I've got my proper walking shoes for when I'm properly walking.
Right. Okay, good.
But then if it's a rest day or after I've finished and we're popping in to explore a little bit, that's when I wear my Crocs. But it's not typical French attire. So next time I buy comfortable shoes, I think I'll go for not pink. I'll go for something that's maybe, you know, navy or something a bit less stand
out. You be you, and that's good enough, I think. But yeah, we're gonna start wrapping this up a little bit. I'm gonna just read the out your blog, read the last paragraph of your blog, and we'll just talk about that. It says, life will throw you curveballs, and the road won't always turn out as you expected. But when you update the map to the most up-to-date version for your needs, you can be sure that even if this bit is tricky, you're not stuck here. Keep moving, even if it is one slippery step at a time. You will find that you're still making progress towards your destination, even in the messy bits. And that's not the end of your blog. That's not even close to it. But that's just about towards the end of your blog. So I guess, what do you think? Do you think, when you think about your map when you first started out on this journey, do you think it has developed or changed? You know, what's happened for you in this?
Well, when I started out, I knew there'd be some version of an online map that would be helpful. I just had the guidebook and signs that I was following. And as I've gone on, I've met people and they're like, oh, well, we're using this app. So I was using the app, a way of looking at it that they recommended. But there was this day that Leonard had one type of map and I had a different type of map, and my path, they skipped a whole town that he went through, and he's like, oh my gosh, this is the first place I've thought I could almost live here. And I was just like, I didn't even see it because my path went a different way. And after this little village, it sent me off into these brambles, and it was a completely impassable path, and so I had to backtrack, go back to a road and go through a town that I wasn't even supposed to get to. This app was clear enough that it had all the forest paths, so I was able to sort myself out a way that I could go through the forest on some of the logging tracks to get back to the actual path. Wow. But like, I had to seriously navigate, and I was like, okay, that's probably the last time I'll use that app, because Leonard was just using the official one, which I hadn't tried at that point. And it just, you know, told him exactly where he needed to go, and off he went. So I was completely separated from him that day. We walked some of our longer days separately because he has longer legs, and
wait.
If he has a break, he just has a break differently from me. He likes to kind of have a quick snack and keep going, whereas I'm like, oh my gosh, my legs just need to stop. Yeah. So I'll sit there for half an hour, but I won't stop as often. But yeah, when we're walking for a long day, these long, like the 45k day and some of those others, we actually just walk them separately and meet at the end of the day at the accommodation. So that particular day that I was following this map, you know, I ended up, there was no way. This map was out of date. I couldn't get through. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to use that one. So I changed the route. So at least now I'm using the same app as Leonard, so that even if I'm behind him, I'm still at least in the same direction.
Right. So you have learned that not one map fits all.
Yes, yep, and I've got the guidebook as well, so sometimes I'll come to a road and I'll be like, yeah, I've had enough of forest, I'm just doing the road, and so I can see, I might have Google Maps that I can open and go, does this road around? Yes, it does. They won't have that on the guidebook, but they'll have it, you know. So you've got all of these different resources available on smartphones, it's amazing. And I also learnt, if I use, you know, like when you're in a map and it says start and it starts giving you, that uses a lot of data. So okay. I had to stop doing that. And I just have to watch my blue dot move myself, because I sucked up all my data one or 2 days of navigating. And it was because I'd press start. My phone was constantly sort of, you know, oh, this way, this way, this way. Whereas if I just followed the blue dot and went, am I in the right place? Oh, yes, I am. Awesome.
The things you learn while following the map, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so Denise, when are you coming home?
Next week.
Next week.
I'll be flying in next Friday.
If Denise could get in here before we start out on studio, she'd be in here. I'll be looking out for you, Denise. But I think she's going to be in here when I come to the end of the show. But we will see. Other than that, we will be having everything will be back on track in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into some good conversations for sure. Mm-hmm. It has been so good to see you, Denise, and also
it's been fun.
Yeah, and enjoy Paris. My sister, she loved France. She loved Paris. Yeah, I hear it's a beautiful place. Because you're not you're not doing your walking in Paris, eh? Or you, is this a...
No.
This is you and Leonard time having a great tourist look around, I guess.
Just a day of being tourists, basically. But, Yay. Oh, my goodness, one of the things in these little towns, you would expect in France that they would have cafes everywhere. They do not.
Oh, wow.
They don't. They have bakeries. You either have to go into a bar and you can get a coffee with milk. But unless you're in a big city, they don't have cafes like we know them. And, of course, in Raglan we're spoilt for amazing cafes. And so we're just like, get us to the city where we can just go and order all the drink that we want and some food.
I want to eat.
The simple things. He keeps saying doesn't take too much to keep me happy, but, you know, just being able to go into a cafe goes, woo, a long way.
Well, Denise, we're going to catch up with you real soon, and I've really looked forward to tuning in with you. Have a great time in your last few days away from us. Have a safe journey home. And we will catch up when you're back and the jet lag is gone and you're feeling on top of things again. Sayonara, Denise.
That sounds awesome.
What do you say? It's not bonjour. What would you say saying goodbye? A vita sana.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Oh, au revoir. Au revoir, dear friend.
Oh, I hope you know I will carry you home. Whether it's tonight or 55 years down the road. Oh, I know there's so many ways this could go. Don't want you to wonder, darling, I need you to know. We were talking to the sunset, throwing dreams against the wall. I know none of them are stuck yet, but I bet it on you, honey. Oh, I would risk it all. These days, these nights, I'm changing my mind is set on you. I'm not afraid to say it's true. Every time. We were California dreaming. Our whole life fit in that car. Didn't have a bed to sleep in. We kept each other warm under a ceiling full of stars. These days, these nights, changing my mind. Set on you, I'm not afraid to say it, to say I do. Every time. Oh, I hope you know I will carry you home.
regrets tonight or 55 years down the road.
opened her eyes, opened her eyes, and she said, "You came calling back." But after what you did to her, she wouldn't have any of that.
You've been listening to Marie on Faith Matters, 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. We had Denise in the studio. It was awesome to have her back chatting and, unpacking some things around her blog and journeying, the long journey or the short journey, who knows. Totally up to you. Hey, it's time for me to head out. You have a great weekend. It is the end of the school holidays. So for all of you parents out there with your little ones going back, enjoy the week ahead. I'm sure it's been pretty full on 2 weeks. So take some time out for yourself. Take a breather. Reset and refuel. That's my encouragement for you today and for you kids going back. It is the end of the year, not long to go. Lots of good things to learn, lots of good memories, I think, to be made with friends along the way. So enjoy it. Have a safe weekend, everyone, and we shall see you here next Friday, 12 till 1:30 on Faith Matters.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm falls. I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. Never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker.